Welcome to Binge and Banter. I'm Angela.
And I am Emily, and we are going to be recapping Survivor Episode 3 for you all today.
This episode was so good.
I feel like each Survivor episode just keeps getting better and better and better.
I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised that I am enjoying Survivor this much because I feel like during the pandemic when I started watching the newer seasons, I was just like, eh. It's too much gameplay. There's not enough unpredictability. But this season has some unpredictability for sure. Like, it has people almost like there's so much gameplay that they are questioning where anything could go at any second. Like, they don't know where things are headed the entire way. Like, there's not, I feel like those seasons like a few years ago got predictable because people were such good game players that they would get everything locked in before tribal and you just kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And now it feels like everyone is such good game players that they're not afraid to make massive moves and just like and they know that there's probably like four different levels of everything going on, so they start questioning themselves and then
they go full out right from the start,
and they let their emotions affect them a little bit more, which I think is a good thing in this game. Like, if you play this game like a robot, you're not going to win the $1 million.
Yeah, you have to build those relationships with other people. I will say I'm enjoying this season a lot more than like the past few, because I think for the past probably 3 seasons, we have seen the same tribe go to tribal council over and over and over again. Like, they get down to 3 people and then it's time for the merge. And the other 2 tribes have never even gone to tribal council. Here, we're getting a little mix of each tribe having to go, and now we're back at even numbers. Like, that makes it so much more interesting, and it'll make it so much more interesting at the merge, where if you go in with even numbers, like, who's going to win that battle?
100%. And it feels like the reason for that, or one of the reasons for that, is that people are not just trying to vote out the biggest threat. I mean, minus TK, but a lot of that had to do with his personality. But now it feels like the quote-unquote biggest threats have been smart about putting themselves in a position to where they're not going to get voted out, because people know, oh, they have an immunity idol. Oh, I'm sure they have some advantage that they're not telling us about or whatever. So, but we'll get to it. So where does this episode start?
Yes. So we start off at Tuku, and they just went to tribal council in the last episode. Kyle was left out of all the votes. So, and we also had Gabe play his idol. So we open up with Gabe saying why he played his idol. And he goes into, well, last season, there were literally 6 people voted out that didn't play their idol.
Crazy.
I don't think anybody played their idol last season. It was, you found an idol, you got voted out. Like, over, it was back to back to back to back blindsides.
That is so crazy to me. And now I think people are getting smart with, like, if I have an idol, I need to play it. And it's so, that's what I love about the show in general, too, is that, like, they're watching the last season going, what can I learn from this? And now the game is being played completely differently, because even people who know that they're not going to get voted out, you just never know. And they saw so many people not use their advantages last year in their idols. So they play it, and it, and I don't know. I love that, because you never know when it's actually going to be needed.
I do too. And it just makes for more entertainment as well. Like, it's just more entertaining when someone pulls out an idol or an advantage. It also changes the game a lot when idols and advantage are talked about. But I didn't know that these players had even seen the previous season. I thought that they, like, while that season was airing, they were filming the next season.
Oh.
I guess they don't do that. Because all these players, I mean, I think twice they mentioned back to the previous season in this episode. And it was the one right before the season.
Well, maybe they started filming at like the very end of that season or something like that.
Yeah, airing. The very end of it airing.
Yeah.
I just find that wild, because if that's the case, like, they turn these things out quickly after they're filmed. Because, you know, it takes at least 26 days to film, not including travel time to get to the island and back.
Yeah.
Wild. Okay, back on track. Kyle is playing it completely cool. He's acting like he's not mad that he was left out of the boat. He's, you know, telling people that I would have been okay with it if you guys would have told me. Would have been totally fine. He's doing the right thing here. I think he could have dug himself a grave if he came back and he was mad.
Yeah, for sure. He knew he was on the bottom and he knew he had to. But if we called it, though, we're like, he's going to be nervous as hell because the one person he had a true alliance with and voted with ended up getting voted out. So he's going to know that he's at the bottom.
Exactly. And then we see Caroline and Sue celebrating in the woods and they're literally jumping up and down because everything went the way that they wanted it to. And we also hear Sue for the first time talk about how she doesn't like that Kyle voted for her. And now she's gunning for Kyle.
I thought that was so interesting because I feel like some players, they would be like, it's not personal. Like, it is what it is. But for her, I don't know, that just like that it stung her. And I feel like for Kyle, it really wasn't personal. He thought he was playing his hand right with TK. He really did. So I hope that there's like a future mending of the fences or whatever. Like, I hope that they get on good terms again, because it really, I don't know. I think Kyle, I have a soft spot for him. He seems like such a...
I do too.
Yeah, he seems so nice. And he could end up like...
so bad.
Me too. He is definitely 100% my favorite and the one that I want to win. Well, let me hold that thought. I actually, this episode started liking Sol a lot too.
Oh yeah. I completely forgot that Sol was even in the show until this episode. Okay, so let's get to it. We go to Gotta, and they're talking about how they didn't sleep well. They're debating what they want to do for the day, and they decide that they want to fix the shelter. Well, Annika decides that she wants to fix the shelter because Sam is like, we said we were going to catch crabs in the morning. And he is annoyed because he's like, we just won this fishing gear, and we could totally go out and get us food. And nobody is interested in doing that at all. All they want to do is fix the shelter. And he keeps saying, I thought it was so funny. He's like, it's bamboo. It's not going to get any better. Like, you're sleeping on bamboo.
Yeah. And I thought that was fascinating how you see, like, their different needs. It makes sense now why there's always, like, drama and tension on this show. Because you take away every single essential thing that a human being needs. And Annika's body is probably screaming at her like, we need a comfortable place to sleep. And then Sam's body is probably screaming at him. I mean, he's a bigger dude. We need food. And they both are so starved of those things that they're in a position where they feel like they cannot move on until they get what they want. So it's not just a matter of like in real life, if your friend's like, I want McDonald's, and but your other friend's like, I want Taco Bell, and you end up going to Taco Bell when you really wanted McDonald's. Like, it's like, whatever. But you're out in the wild and, like, you're literally trying to survive. Yes. It's going to matter a lot more, and it's going to build a lot more resentment between people.
But everybody knows an Annika, too. Everybody knows someone that it has to be their way. You have to do what they want to do that day or in that moment. Just like you were saying, like, going to Taco Bell. Like, if Annika wants Taco Bell, we're going to Taco Bell. Like, we knew people like that in our past.
For sure.
I know you're thinking. You're thinking what I'm thinking.
100%.
And
Annika is being extra for sure.
Yes, she is. Oh my gosh. And you know an Annika in your life, and you're like, yeah, you just have to give them what they want if you want that friendship to work out.
Yeah.
And in the game of Survivor, you always want that friendship to work out.
So but I thought it was funny how, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but how Sam was like, she was like correcting every little thing he was doing after that too. And it was getting under his skin. Gosh.
It was getting under my skin, and I wasn't even on the island with them.
See, I had total opposite feeling. I felt like, okay, was it annoying that Annika was like, I'm putting myself above everybody else. Let's build a shelter. Yes. But then her like, just like telling him like, it's not going to work this way. And like she was saying it super neutral. It's just the fact that there was already tension there that is what pissed Sam off.
Yes.
And I kind of felt for Annika in that moment.
I think it was, see, I'm the opposite. I'm like, I felt for Sam because to me, she was nitpicking everything that he was doing. And they were trying to put up the clothesline and she's going on and on and on about some aspect of it. And he was like, well, what do you want me to do about it? And she's like, I want you to stop it. And he was like,
it's kind of like at that point, do it yourself.
That. Yeah, just say that. And then she's holding the rope and he starts like hacking at the rope. And he gets like a few hacks in and she's like, it works better if you saw it, Samuel. And I was like, the Samuel, I think that's what got underneath my skin the most is she kept calling him Samuel. Everyone else calls him Sam.
Yeah, but then he sawed it and it broke right in half.
Okay, yeah, she was right. She was right, but she didn't have to say Samuel.
True, true, true.
For Sam.
We'll see. I can't wait to see how she turns out. Because right now, I feel like, you know, she's a girl who likes to be in charge. Is it that or is it a girl who likes to be nitpicky and have things her way? Like, we're going to have to see how it plays out.
I'm going to say in charge. And I called that, by the way. We called that from her cast bio.
Yeah. I don't remember talking about her, but I'm sure we did.
I said, she's going to be controlling. She's going to be gone soon.
Ooh, yeah, she better chill on the controlling stuff because that'll get you voted out this season. This season, people don't like for people to dominate things.
No, not at all. Okay, so we go to Lavo and Rome is going on and on about this fishing gear.
He's pumped.
This guy never shuts up. He just never shuts up. And he's like, I'm going to go fishing again and this is how you use the Hawaiian sling, and this is how you do this. And only a few people in Survivor have actually been able to catch fish. And he just goes on and on and on about it. And everyone else is like, okay, bro, go fish. And they're kind of glad, like, yeah, go fish. Leave us all alone for a minute.
Yeah.
And somebody else, I can't even remember who it was, said that they wanted to go fishing. And he was like, well, there's a big undercurrent. Like, you have to be careful. And it's just like he doesn't want any help is what it seems like. But then he goes into complaining that he doesn't have any help. So he goes into, he's mad because if he's the one fishing, somebody else should be getting the pot ready for him, starting the fire for him. Somebody else should be cleaning the fish. Like, and he's doing it all. He's doing it all, which I get it. I would be annoyed too if I was doing it all, but you're doing it all because you're the only person that wants to do this.
And you're doing it all because you have gone on and on about how you're the best at everything and you should be in charge of everything. And he's such a dork too. Like, he's like, he is so like, I don't know. And he's like, I want to beat the record for how many fish one person catches on Survivor. And is that the only reason I'm going to catch these fish? Sure is. Like, he's just... Gosh, he would get on my nerves if I was there.
Yes, he would get on my nerves too. I literally wrote, bro, you chose this. You chose to do it alone. You didn't accept help. Like, oh, and he's mad at everyone.
And let's not forget that he was the one who talks about how he was going to be the first to make fire and he was the best at making fire. So, of course, nobody else has probably had a chance to practice making fire because it's been him making it every time. So, of course, you're going to be the one catching the fish and cooking the fish and making the fire. And those fish, they were this big.
They were so tiny. They were so tiny. And he's so proud. And they're like, he got four fish. And there's about this much meat on each one. Like, they have such little fish. And they're all talking about how he's not sharing the fish. Like, he eats two out of the four. So two are split up between the rest of the tribe, and he eats two out of the four. And he can tell that Asia is, like, annoyed by this, and she's kind of complaining about it. And so he goes, oh, my gosh. You know he just loves being annoying, too, because he goes right up next to her and starts eating the last fish right next to her, where she can hear him chewing. And then he's like spitting stuff out of his mouth. I'm guessing like bones and scales and stuff. And she's like, dude, you just spit on my back.
I'm like, nasty. And then in his interview, he's like, oh, yeah, I was over there eating that fish, smacking as loud as I could because they didn't do anything to deserve it. And Asia didn't do anything to deserve this fish. And I'm just like, dude, that attitude right there, if it wasn't for your damn idol and what happens later in this episode, like,
he would have been gone. And I'm so mad. Like, it angers me that he's still here. Angers me.
And at the merge, when he becomes a like, he might still have his Lavo alliances, but when he becomes a minority, like, people are gonna tire of him so fast.
I think his alliance is going to break apart from him the second that he doesn't have an advantage anymore.
Yeah, because I think he would have gotten voted out this episode if he didn't have an idol.
Yep.
And so, quick question. I guess we'll get to it, but I'll ask when we get there, actually.
Okay. So we go back to Gata, and they're talking about how Sam has never tried any of these foods. So he's never tried watermelon. I was like, how do you grow up not trying a watermelon?
Unreal. I didn't, never had eggplant, never had squash or zucchini.
Yeah, and like, then Annika said some kind of, like, I don't even know what she said. Some weird vegetable. She was like, Brusselkini. And I was like, what is that? I'm like, are you?
Oh, she said broccolini. It's just like long broccoli. We have it at
Degrees
at the restaurant I work at.
Totally thought she was like putting two vegetables together, like broccoli and zucchini. Broccolini.
Well, broccolini is kind of a niche vegetable.
Okay. I was like,
someone,
Annika, who has eaten broccolini?
Someone who hasn't eaten watermelon is not gonna have eaten broccolini. So
clearly they're not even gonna be able to know what it is. But then we get clips of Sierra and Andy talking, and it is just so, Andy is just so funny to me. So funny to me. Number one, he did see the crack between Annika and Sam. And he was like, maybe I can weasel my way into this. He knows that Sam and Sierra are tight. So him and Sierra are talking. And she's like, Andy, I want to work with you, but like, you make me nervous. I'm wary of you. And he's like, automatically, he's like, I'll give you my shot in the dark. I'll give you my shot in the dark. That way, you know, I'm voting with you. You know, I have nothing else to save me except to trust y'all. And at first,
explain to the audience what the shot in the dark is.
Yes. So everybody gets one shot in the dark throughout the season. And you can choose to play it at any tribal council. You play it and you have a 1 in 6 chance of being safe, meaning you can't get voted out. And so what you will do is you won't vote and you'll choose to play your shot in the dark. You get a little scroll that you take back to your seat with you. And then when Jeff asks if you have an advantage, you stand up and you give that to Jeff. Jeff will open it up and it'll either say safe or not safe.
Okay.
So if you absolutely know that you're going home, obviously you play your shot in the dark.
Okay.
Otherwise you don't play it, because then you don't get your vote and you never get another shot in the dark. Like, that's your one shot in the dark. You can't play it again.
So you can give someone else your shot in the dark?
So if he gives Sierra his shot in the dark, he can't play it. She has it. She has his. It's a little dice. Okay.
Oh.
So yeah, it's 1 in 6 chance. So it's like a little dice. And so if he gives it to Sierra, she knows he has to vote the way that they want him to vote.
Yeah. That makes sense. That's a good tactic, but it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, it calls for a lot more blindsides, because people, you don't want them to play their shot in the dark. So you have to make everyone feel like they're safe. Because in a sense, everyone has a shot at having an idol. You know, like, everyone has a chance at immunity.
That's true.
You don't want them to have that chance. But yeah, he offers it up. At first, Sierra's like, I don't really need it. Like, that's okay. You don't have to do that. And then he's like, no. I'm willing to give it to you to show you, like, my trust to you. And she's like, okay, sure. I'll take it.
Sure, Andy.
Yeah. So then she is in an interview and she says she's no longer like nervous about him. She's no longer weary about him, because she thinks, like, obviously he's going to vote with them.
I think people are skeptical of him because he feels, the problem with him is, like, yes, he feels loyal, but his loyalty feels like it comes from desperation.
Right. Which it does, which is good enough for right now.
Right. 100%.
Until he trusts somebody else more and he's no longer desperate.
Yeah.
Okay. So we go to Tuku and we have Gabe talking to Kyle. And he's like, Kyle, I want you to stay in this game. I like who you are. I like how you play the game. Here's what I'm thinking. Sue and Caroline are not going to break up from each other. They're a tight two. So our only option to keep you in the game is if we vote Tiana. And he's like, and I'm okay with that. Kyle immediately is like, I'm not going against Tiana. She was my alliance member. Even though she voted without him.
She went against you, bro.
Yeah, she went against him in the last tribal council. He's like, I'm not gonna vote her out.
I get it because Tiana is very likable, but yeah, you can't.
I'm like, you already can't trust her. She didn't fill you in and she voted against you. So, yeah. And if anybody was going to fill Kyle in, it needed to be Tiana.
Yeah, 100%. But I don't know. I have more. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. And so Kyle then goes and he pulls Sue, Caroline, and Tiana. And he's like, watch this. I'm going to throw Gabe under the bus. And he's like, Gabe wants to vote for Tiana. He says y'all are too tight too. And just spills all the beans because he's like, okay, let's get Gabe out. And then yeah. Sue is like, not having it. Like,
yeah.
He literally just fed Sue all the information that he knows, trying to prove that she can trust him. And Sue's like, not happening. You wrote my name down.
She really holds a grudge. And I don't understand that because Gabe was literally calling them his like wounded little birds. And then Kyle told Sue that Gabe said that they were his goats and she doesn't care. Like yeah, she literally doesn't care.
She doesn't care. And Gabe's already trying to break up that alliance with Tiana, Sue, and Caroline. Like he's already trying to cause chaos and go against yeah. it. And she's just not seeing that. She just really doesn't like Kyle.
Yeah.
And in that minute, we see the boats come in. And it is this journey was, time.
I have like, I'm so behind on Survivor. I feel like that was like, what? Wait, what's happening?
Yeah, they do these little journeys every now and then. And basically anybody that's playing Survivor right now knows that this journey could end in an advantage. They know that. Yeah. They also know that it could end in lose your vote. Like it, and they've changed the journey so many times that you have no idea what it's going to be.
Yeah.
No. Everybody can come back to camp and lie about it if they want to. So it's like really risky to go on the journey because you might lose your vote or you might come back to camp and people won't believe your story. It is risky, but you also have the chance to get some sort of advantage.
I think that the way Kyle played it was perfect. So Tuku chose Kyle. Well, the tribe didn't. Well, they basically all collectively chose, right? Who went?
Yeah, like, I think on Tuku, they were like, yeah, Kyle, go. It didn't seem like he really pushed for it that hard. They were just like, okay, yeah, you go. Whereas with Rome and Saul played rock, paper, scissors to go. And of course, Rome wins. Like,
yeah,
of course. And then, of course, Annika wants to go. Like, of course, Annika wants to go on Gata.
Yeah.
And I just like, no. Like, as soon as they said there was going to be a journey, I was like, yeah, Annika's going to want to go.
And do you remember the first thing that they all asked when all three of them got to the place where they were doing the journey?
I thought that was hilarious. They're like, they're trying to get intel from each other immediately. And they're like, so are Sam and Sierra dating? Like, they're thinking there's going to be a showmance immediately. And Annika's like,
that was
what?
That was so funny because it was like, screw your alliance. Well, I guess that's technically an alliance, but it's like, screw your alliances. Screw whatever hardships you've had, how your shelter's going, how you're getting food. I don't want to know any of that. I want to know, are Sam and Sierra a thing?
Right? I was like, y'all. And just for those that haven't watched Survivor for a long time, everybody in Survivor is so scared of a showmance. They're so scared of two people being in a showmance together because Boston Rob and Amber in Survivor All-Stars started being a little showmance and they started flirting and they really liked each other and they dominated that season.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the final two, and at the live reading of the votes, before they read the votes, Boston Rob proposes to Amber. They're still married to this day. They are both winners of Survivor. They have both-
Who won that season?
Amber won that season.
Oh, and, my gosh. Yep,
and Boston Rob comes back to play again. He wins. So they're both winners, and they have, like, three or four beautiful daughters. Like, absolutely gorgeous. But they're, like, historical characters. Like, you know,
absolutely.
And you know that that showmance was such a big deal that season that everyone's so scared of it. So it makes sense that immediately everyone wants to know, is it a showmance? And we haven't seen a showmance like that, like to go that far and like, be that dominant since then. And people are still scared of it.
Yeah, they're like, we know what this means. But also, why would you not? Like, I feel like, well, obviously in the case of Sam and Sierra, they're not together. They both have fiancés at home. Yeah. Obviously, you're not going to create a romantic relationship with someone and cheat on your significant other on TV. That's foolish. But yeah. Why not? Why has it not happened since then? Because it seems like an excellent strategy. Maybe it puts a target on your back. Oh, it has.
It's happened. Those people get voted out.
Because they're scared.
Because it's the same as saying they're a strong alliance of two. And an alliance of two will rarely go against each other. But an alliance of two that are also, like, dating each other, they're definitely not going to go against each other.
So they try to get one of them off because it's, like, too dangerous.
Immediately they will get one of them off. Yeah. Okay, so Survivor All-Stars happened in 2004. 20 years later, people are still scared of a showmance.
That's crazy.
Right? I'm like, that is insane. Okay, so they get through that. And by the way, Annika's like, no, they're not dating, but they are a tight two. And immediately throws them under the bus. I'm like, yes, Sam is right. They do need to get Annika out because she just told everyone that they're a tight two.
She was snaky and not smart snaky.
No.
She was dumb snaky.
I was like, do you ever want to work with them at the merge? Like, she kind of just like made it known then that she doesn't want to work with Sam and Sierra come merge if they're all still in the game.
So explain this thing that they have to do.
Yes. So after everyone starts dishing their dirty laundry, and by the way, Rome dishes some dirty laundry too. He throws Saul and Asia under the bus.
I forgot about that.
Says that he's at the bottom, and Kyle's really the only one that plays this well. So the other two are just spilling beans, kind of throwing people under the bus so that come later on, there's somebody that the other tribes can work with. But then we get to this journey. Okay, so they all go on separate paths. So technically, I guess they could all have different little challenges, and you would never know because you don't meet back up. Like, you go on these three separate trails.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to pick in this bag and pick a scroll. And you have a 1 in 3 chance the first time to get an advantage. You have a 2/3 chance that you will lose your vote. If you lose your vote, you get the chance to pick again, which means that you get a 50-50 shot at losing your vote. If you pick lose your vote again, then you lose your vote for 2 tribal councils. And obviously, if you get the advantage, you get the advantage. Or you can choose after you pick one time that you're just going to stick with what you got.
Mm-hmm.
So Kyle loses 1 vote, doesn't play again. Annika loses 1 vote, doesn't play again. And the one person I did not want to get this advantage. Like, I wanted Kyle to get it.
Me too. But it was flipping Rome. And the crazy thing is when I was watching this, I looked at this and I was like, Rome's going to get the advantage. He's going to get the advantage on the first try. Like, I just know he is.
Mm-hmm. The Survivor gods, for some reason, they're with Rome.
They are.
And I don't understand it, but they're with Rome.
Then your mind immediately goes to, what are these three going to tell everybody back at camp? Are they going to tell the truth or are they going to lie? One of them told an awful, unbelievable lie, and that was Annika. I was astonished. I was like, no one, because, okay, what Annika said was,
that she didn't even play the game.
Yes, she was like, she was like, it said that there was 2 lose your votes and 1 advantage, and she explained the whole rules, and then she was like, but you didn't have to play. And I'm like, that would actually make no sense, because in that, like, Survivor would never do that as the rules, because if there's a 2/3 chance that you're going to lose your vote,
nobody would do it.
And you don't have to play, then nobody is playing. And that's why I was like, there ain't no way a single person believes her.
I guess that's true. And it would be more believable if she said it was a 50-50 chance that you would lose your vote. That would make it more believable. That seems like something Survivor would do. But no, you're right. I didn't even catch on to that. But I was like mad that she even lied in the first place. I thought it was stupid. And she does tell them that everyone was asking if Sam and Sierra were dating. And immediately Sam and Sierra are like angry about this because they know it puts a target on their back. And they're also not dating. So they're like, really? It's an unnecessary target on our back.
Yeah, and they were like, we got to be careful. I wonder where people got that. Were they, like, just really close to each other the last 2 challenges or what?
I think they're just 2 young, attractive-looking people.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. Maybe they did work too close. I don't know. I don't know where they got that from. I really think it's just because they're young and attractive.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Kyle, of course, our sweet little Kyle. He's just so honest, and he's playing this game honestly and as a good man, and he doesn't tell a single lie.
This was not only the right thing to do because it was honest, but it was so smart because they know he is not lying, because why would you lie about something negative? Like, why would you say, like, oh, I lost my vote if you didn't really lose your vote? Mm-hmm. Like, because then people are going to know at the tribal council. Yeah. And like, anyway, so I thought this was really smart because I feel like it made people trust him.
Yeah. And also if he comes back and says that he didn't, like, your only option is to say that you lost your vote, because if you come back and say that you didn't lose your vote, well, then you got an advantage. There's already a target on his back. He's already on the bottom. So why would you make yourself more of a target? Like, that was really his only play.
Right.
And then when you have Rome. Oh, gosh, Rome.
He lies through his teeth.
Of course he lies. He has to lie because he has an advantage. And he says he lost his vote. And can I just say, Rome is not a good liar.
He's like, not. And he thinks that he is. That's the problem.
I know. The amount of times that this guy said, I lost my vote throughout this episode, I was like, just you saying it over and over and over again does not make us believe you anymore.
He said it so many times. Like, oh, and just, you know, suspicious. I don't really matter because I lost my vote, blah, blah, blah. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
And of course, Rome is suspicious. Rome is suspicious.
110%. So then my question that I was going to ask earlier, but I saved it for now, is Rome's advantage.
Yeah.
Did he use it?
No.
So can he still use it at next tribal council?
He can use it whenever he wants.
So if you lost your vote at tribal council, it's your next tribal council no matter what.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Got it.
Yes. So we have Annika telling the truth to Rachel and Sierra and saying, hey, guys, I lost my vote. I thought that this was a bad move to tell Sierra because Sierra may not be on her side, but I guess Annika wouldn't know that. But I was glad that she told Sierra because now they can spin that and know that she doesn't have a vote. They don't even need Andy at this point then.
And maybe she was thinking too, like, Sierra's so buddy-buddy with Sam, and Sam and Andy kind of have a thing. So maybe if I tell her this, she'll realize that I'm, like, the more important alliance, which...
Maybe.
It could go that way when they go to tribal council next, or it could go... Like, I feel like Gatto's next tribal council is going to be the battle of Annika and Sam.
Yeah, it will be. And Sierra will be the deciding vote.
Yep, 100%.
So Rome tells Teeny that he got an advantage. And I'm immediately like, why? Because Teeny did not keep a secret when you told her that you had an idol. She immediately told Keyshawn. And so I don't really understand his move with telling Teeny again. Like, I don't get it.
I have one very important question.
Okay.
That I want answered. I got to go on social media probably to find my answer. Why is her name Teeny? Is that her government name? Or...
You know, I never even questioned it. I was like, yep, that's like, Teeny.
Any Teeny, Miney, Mo.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So I also was like, why would you tell her? But at the same time, it feels like the reason that everybody tells anyone anything is to build trust. Like their whole thing is like was Andy telling, sorry, who did he tell that he was going to give his shot in the dark to?
Sierra.
Like with Andy telling Sierra that he would give her his shot in the dark. It's like, why even say that? But it's all about building trust. And this season is so fascinating. I feel like you probably know this, but like, does every season kind of like almost have a different rule set in a way? Like, I feel like this season, the rules are like you tell anyone you've ever been in an alliance with anything that happens to you.
Like, it seems like recent seasons, everybody tells everybody everything. I mean, that's why we got 6 people last season voted out with an idol in their pocket, because everyone knew that they had idols and they were like, we got to get them out before they play that thing.
But they made them think that they didn't.
Right. They made them think they were voting for someone else. Yeah. So
that's
it's like
so like 5-dimensional chess to me. Like the whole social. That's why I love this show, though, is it's like the whole social landscape of like, and I think that's the part that I would be good at, honestly. Like, that makes me sound bad, like I'm like snaky or whatever, or calculated. But I feel like I could spin like 7 different narratives with every single person on the tribe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But everything else, don't put me in the challenges. Just don't put me in the ocean or trying to make a puzzle or trying to lift something heavy, because it's not going to happen.
Oh my gosh. No, don't put me in a puzzle, that's for sure. Everything else, sure, I'll do it, but you may not want me doing it. But the thing that I loved about Old School Survivor was that nobody knew about your advantages. So when you stood up at Tribal Council and you said, Jeff, I'm playing this idol for me, everybody was shocked.
Gasp.
And I loved that. I absolutely loved it. And I get that. It could have led to, the next tribal council, you're voted out. Like, you won for one more day. But I don't know. I like that old school survivor of the shock value to the rest of your tribe. Whereas we see later, Rome plays his idol and it no shock value. Everyone's like, yeah, right. Here's Rome playing his idol.
And knows that nobody's voting him out. So it was really just like he knows, but like, it's just insurance to make sure that you're going to get to the next round.
Exactly. But he also tells Genevieve and Keyshawn, which is a good move, because if you're going to tell Teeny, you know, she's going to tell everybody else. So you got to tell him first.
Right.
And it works out.
That was smart for him to go ahead and tell the others. Like, Teeny is very, I feel like she has a really hard time being in an alliance with Rome because she doesn't like him. And yeah. I feel like she almost would have rathered him not tell her that.
Yeah. I feel like they will start to crack. They're going to start to crack soon.
100%.
Okay. We get to the challenge. And Jeff Robes, the best host of all time.
In all of reality TV.
In all of reality TV. The God of Survivor. Describes our challenge. And so you have one person that has to go up this rope, jump off this platform, and then get up these blocks, jump off of that, then dive underwater to unhook a buoy that has a key on it. And then you have to cross a balance beam, get in the water again, and then get onto the final platform. So there's one person that's going to do that. Then everybody else is going to run the same exact course. And pairs of 2 to get 2 more keys, but their keys are tied to the balance beam, so there's no diving underwater. And then at the end, they keys unlock their puzzle pieces, and they have to finish a seahorse puzzle.
So whenever they were deciding, like, who was going to go first in all of this, I noticed with Lavo some tension between Rome and Sol. I didn't really understand it. I think what I gathered from it was that Rome was saying, let me go first, because if you go first and you don't get it, I'm going to be mad.
Yes.
Was that what it was?
Yes. And okay, so we just talked about this in the last episode, that we were like, I want to see the strategy in deciding like who does what and what challenge. And I swear they're like, they're one of our 9 listeners, because they heard and they showed us. Yes, they showed us. And usually they only show it when there's some sort of tension like this and it adds to the storyline. But yeah, no, there was tension. Rome's like, I want to be the first person. I want to be the first person. Like, I can do this. And Sol's like, Rome, I'm telling you, I can do this too. And Rome's like, nope, gonna be me, gonna be me. Sol's like, fine, whatever, let it be you. And I was hoping so bad that Rome would like flounder and not be able to make it through that first part, because he was so like, oh, he was so over the top with being like, I'm gonna be the one to do this.
And we then he got them in last place.
Well, he didn't.
No, sorry. First, it was Andy messing up.
Yes. I was going to say, Andy also insisted on going first. And then it just kind of seemed like the other Tuku tribe was like, yeah, Kyle's going first. He's our best. But he also explained that they're playing for tarp and hammocks. Hammocks have not been a reward in a long time.
Really?
Yes. Like, normally they just get a tarp.
I know that Annika was thinking about that hammock and that tarp.
She would. She's like, I'm going to sleep good tonight. Sam's like, I'm on the bamboo again, because Annika needs to sleep in the hammock every night. And it's already going to be a storyline.
Oh, you're calling it. Okay.
I'm calling it. Yeah. Yeah. And then second place also gets just a tarp. Okay. Then Jeff starts talking to Keyshawn. Keyshawn just learned how to swim 4 months ago.
Blew my mind. This blew my mind.
Blew my mind, but also I get like, you're trying to be not, this is where Survivor would sink me. Like, this is where I would lose my cool and I would get voted out, because Keyshawn would be like, I just learned how to swim. I really want to participate in the swimming challenge. Like, please let me do it. And I would be like, no, it's not losing. I'm not going.
Right.
So no, you are. You're going to sit out.
Something also told me, so Genevieve sat out, right?
Yeah.
So something told me that when she was, so have they put advantages underneath the little bench that they make the sit out person sit on in the past?
Only once.
Okay.
But yes, she was so looking.
She was like underneath, tickling the bottom of the bench, trying to figure out what was under there. And I feel like maybe, perhaps, Genevieve got in Keyshawn's ear and was like, you need to prove yourself as a swimmer, because you just learned this and like you can be up to the challenge and do something hard, because she wanted to be on that bench and see if there was an advantage.
Yeah, I could see that. She didn't push back as much. Keyshawn's like, I want to participate. And she's like, okay, fine. Because she's like, maybe I'll get an advantage.
But yeah.
For me, I would have been mad. I'd be like, you just learned how to swim. This is an extensive swimming challenge. It's not just a little swim. Like, we're jumping off platforms into the ocean. And you're going to do it and you just learned how to swim.
You have to make the logical decision in that case. Like, you can't bring your tribe down. I don't know. For me, that would have rubbed me the wrong way. I'm surprised that more of them didn't have a problem with it. They must have been on board with it somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
There was some conversations that we weren't privy to.
No.
But I would have been losing my mind. We're not letting her swim.
Yeah, I would be not happening. Okay, so we get to the challenge. Kyle's a beast. Kyle makes it all the way through just fine. Rome does well and is right behind him, and Andy is struggling. So he struggles with the key. He has to go down multiple times to try to unhook this key. And then he falls off the balance beam, like multiple times falls off the balance beam.
This blew my mind, because for me, the one part of this challenge that I would be able to do, and maybe it comes from the acro and tumbling background, but I would be able to sprint across that balance beam.
But it's on water.
Oh, is it like moving with the water?
Yeah, it moves.
Okay, never mind. I don't know why he didn't crawl sooner, though.
Yeah, he should have crawled.
But I think when you crawl, your feet could like easily just dip into the water, and then you have to start over anyway.
True.
But it made me realize how much worse at balancing boys are than girls, because I feel like in this game, the men have so many advantages physically, but
balance,
when it comes to balancing, the girls have it.
Yeah, like Sue flew across that balance beam.
She did. And Andy, gosh, I could just hear the frustration in Gata. Like, I think in their heads, they were thinking, I mean, this sets us up to lose right away. And if we lose, if they would have lost, Andy would have been, well, it could have been somebody else.
Yeah, but golly, when you fumble in a challenge like that, do you risk keeping him and he might do it again? You know?
Right, because you have to remember the first challenge where he just laid down on the freaking ground.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, luckily for him, Lavo also starts to fall apart. So we have Tini falls off the balance beam twice. Tuku seems to have no issue. They get through right away. Gata, the rest of them get through right away once Andy gets it over. And then we see Lavo is struggling. So we have Keyshawn, that's a slow swimmer. We have Tini falling off the balance beam over and over again. But they finally get it to the end, but it's too late. Like, the other people are so good at their puzzle that it's too late. And Jeff even is, like, saying, like, Lavo's going to go to tribal council. He's saying all this before the challenge is even over. He's like, yeah, Lavo, I'm calling it now. Lavo's going to tribal council. I was like, that is ruthless.
You know what sucks about watching this and trying to envision myself in the game is that I'm like, well, I wouldn't be good at the physical challenges, so maybe I could contribute in the puzzles. And then I remember that, like, I, for some reason, my brain does not comprehend puzzles.
No.
Like, I can't look at a piece of wood and be like, oh, that'll probably fit there. Like, I don't know how to explain it. It probably has to do with how, like, I always get lost when I'm driving. Yeah. Like, that, like, spatial awareness. But there's nothing in my brain that, like, is good at puzzles.
Me either. Like, even, like, the simplest of puzzles, just a normal puzzle that you do on your kitchen table, like, I can't do it. Can't benefit.
But what is our plan to get you on Survivor? Like, the audience needs to know.
Yeah. Well, and then when he's talking to Keyshawn, when Jeff Probst is talking to Keyshawn at the beginning of the challenge, he makes eye contact with the camera and he's like, this is why you apply to be on Survivor. I was like, oh, Jeff, don't talk to me like that. I know.
Girl, we're going to get you on. I think I honestly, just to sidebar for a second, think that you would do so well. I think the social aspect might trip you up a little bit. You would have to work on that. Not that you're like socially awkward or anything, but you're just kind of like,
I am.
I feel like anybody would try to make an alliance with you and you'd be like, okay.
Sounds good.
You'd be in like 8 different alliances by the end.
I think, but the part that would trick me up the most is, like, these people seem so confident going into tribal council. I don't think I would ever, I'd be freaking out the whole time, like, is somebody playing me? Like, seeing through the cracks and being able to see, like, what is true, I have a really hard time doing that. Like,
yeah,
a really hard time. Like, in my everyday life, people can play me like a fiddle. And if you are nice to my face, I'm like, yep, that person's really nice. And
they love me.
Yeah, they love me. And then other people are like, yeah, you shouldn't trust her. And I'm like, wait,
I'm
why?
I'm sweating a little bit because, like, if one of the guys on there was like, you're really cool and really pretty, I'd be like, oh, okay, we're in an alliance for life. I get it. Or if, like, one of the, like, you're awesome. We love your energy. We love having you here on the beach. I'd be like, great, they love me. They're never going to vote me out.
Yeah. I'm also just not good at sniffing out, like, when people are lying. And for those listeners that don't know, I used to be a coach. And my athletes obviously would try to lie to me all the time about, like, why they were late to practice or, you know, different things, why their grades were low. Just, they would try to lie their way out of anything. And I could never truly tell until I knew someone really, really well, like, if they were lying or not.
Yeah. That part, I feel like I'm pretty good at. Like, I joked about people being able to, like, BS me and make me think that they like me. But I genuinely think, like, if it came to, like what Saul and Rome, that conversation that they had later in the episode where Saul was like, he's lying through his teeth. Like, granted, Rome is a bad, bad, bad liar. Yeah. But I feel like
I still would have believed him.
In real life, I would have picked up on that so easily. Like, it was like, I don't know, just like the circumstance and like the aura around him. It would have just been like, okay, you're lying.
Yeah. I don't know if I would pick up on it. Anywho.
We need to apply together so that it's a whole sister thing, and they'll put us on there.
Maybe they'll do blood versus water again.
And we Jeff, if you're listening.
We want to be on Survivor. Thank you.
I would lose so much weight. I'd be so skinny.
That's immediately what I thought about. I was like, ooh, I'd lose so much weight.
Anyway.
Great. Anyway. Tangent over. We have Gotta wins the challenge. Lavo loses. 2K get 2K.
Two Chainz
gets second. And we go back to the Lavo camp. And we see that Teeny and Keyshawn are playing both sides. So we have Rome and Genevieve. They're together in an alliance. Then we have Aisha and Sol are in an alliance. And then we have Keyshawn and Teeny that could go either way. But they're leaning more towards Rome and Genevieve because Rome has an idol and a steal a vote. So they're like, we kind of have to work with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that Aisha and Teeny are talking and they say, okay, Genevieve's going to be the vote. Because we're wary of Rome having something. We've seen him looking for an idol. And so we're going to be safe and play Genevieve. And then we see Rome.
I just had a thought.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good move to, if you lost your vote, to go back to your camp and start telling people. Maybe not, don't tell everyone, because then they'll probably know it's fake. Because you wouldn't tell everybody this, but start telling people in your alliance that you have an advantage.
Yeah.
But then you'd have to use that advantage. And then if you couldn't use it, sorry, you can literally cut this out. I'm sorry. I just had a thought.
No, I like it. I like it. Let's talk about it a little bit. Because I think Kyle could have done that. Like we were talking earlier about like what Kyle could have done. He could have gone back and said, I have an advantage. And he'll probably be safe for the next tribal council. Because people would be like, we can't vote for him. That's too risky.
Plus, there's like a 2/3 chance that you don't go to tribal council that week anyway. But yeah, if you made people think that you have an advantage and they want to vote you out, and they're sitting there thinking like, well, they can't vote him out because he has at least one or two alliances and an extra vote. Like, and so then they just don't even go after you at all.
Yeah, but then like if it's a case of like you have an idol and you don't play it, then they're like, okay, there's no way he wouldn't have played it because he was so close to going home.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I see it both ways, but so true. And there, and like on Lavo, everyone's wary that Rome has an idol because they've seen him looking. Teeny already knows it. So she's playing along with Aisha, telling her like, I don't know if he has it, so we should vote Genevieve. But we see Rome wants Sol to play his shot in the dark. I don't really know why he wants him to not play his shot in the dark. So he's like, we need to make him think that it's Aisha, and we need Aisha to think that it's Sol. But Teeny is saying that she wants the vote to actually be Sol. So Rome wants it to be Aisha. Teeny wants it to be Sol because she thinks that she can mend fences with Aisha afterwards.
And I think she just likes her more.
Yeah, I think they really vibe together, and I could see them being in alliance together. So I think she was like, oh, well, if we vote Sol out, I can still have her on my side.
Yeah.
But then Rome goes to Sol and he's like, hey, it's 99% Aisha.
And Sol is like, we haven't even been back for 30 minutes yet. What do you mean it's 99% Aisha? Like, I don't know. He's automatically skeptical.
Yeah, he is. And he sees right through it. He's questioning himself, but he does see right through it. And I'm like, yes, like, trust your gut in this instant. And then we get this interview. And this made me LOL. Like, laugh so hard. Rome goes, if Boston Rob is the godfather, there has to be a godson at some point. And I'm like, Rome, Boston Rob is probably, like, I don't even know the word, so disgusted that you just said that you just related.
Ashamed.
Yes, I'm like, he's like, no, Rome, you're nothing like me. Like,
You're not Boston Rob. Like, I don't know a lot about Boston Rob, but Rome is not Boston Rob.
I'm sorry, but you don't go into the game of Survivor and say, yeah, I'm like Boston Rob, one of the best players of all time.
But what else do we expect from Rome? He's the best catcher. He's the best at challenges. He's the best at making fire. He's the best at everything. Like, he already said, oh, I'll be on the Just Probes podcast because I have so much podcast experience already. That's You're true. Just like, okay, bro.
We shouldn't expect anything less from Rome. So then we have Keyshawn and Teeny tell Aisha about the idol. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to tell Aisha information and tell her, like, we have to vote Sol. There's no other option because Rome can play it for him or Genevieve. So our only safe vote is to vote for Sol. And this was my, like, error of the game. Aisha doesn't jump on that right away.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't want
to
vote him out. And it's like,
she's trying to stay true to her alliance. But she really, really, she was being too hopeful.
But, like, in that incident, Keyshawn and Teeny are telling her, like, we are not with you and Sol. So it is either you or Sol. Like, that's, they're saying it without saying it. Just saying that they want to work with Rome is enough to me, like, for her to be able to see the writing on the wall. And see, like, oh, 100%. Well, if I don't go along with this, then I'm going to be the one voted out.
That was, and then, like, Teeny even called it. She was like, she's digging her own grave. Mm-hmm. And it was 100% the error of the episode because they laid it out for her and they were being very honest. And she, like, seemed like she knew that they were being honest. She seemed like she believed them and still was like, well, maybe I can swing it to where I get somebody in their alliance out or whatever. But, like, they were so honest, like, it's either you or Sol. So you either get on board with us and vote Sol, or it could be you. Like, yes. I don't know. It was it was foolish of her. And she got too into her emotions and how much she doesn't like Rome and how much she likes Sol.
And she did.
There was even some, like, crazy tension at the very end when she ended up getting voted out. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah. Okay, so we get to Tribal Council. And I noticed that at the bottom of the screen, it says Tribal Council Night 7. I don't know if they've always done this, and I'm just oblivious. But I've never noticed them giving us the day that it is. And, like, it kind of puts it in perspective. Like, in 1 week, we have 3 people voted out.
How long is the whole season? How many days?
I believe it's 26 days.
So that's crazy because they're literally less than 3 weeks now from the end.
Yes. And, like, 3 people, like, have gone home. Like, that's how quick this moves. So, like, from one tribal council to another, you barely have any time to flip the votes.
How long did it used to be?
It used to be 39 days. It used to be 39
days. I wish it still was.
Me too. It used to be 39 days, and it would be, like, every 3 days was tribal council, because you'd have a day of nothing, and then you'd have a day of a reward challenge, because they used to separate the challenges, and then the next day would be your immunity challenge, and then tribal council.
That's right. I forgot that they used to have award challenges and then immunity challenges.
Yeah. So we get to this tribal council, and Rome, again, I don't like him. Immediately, he says he didn't want to be called on first, and he starts giggling.
He started laughing.
Yes, he just annoys me. I don't know, he just annoys me. But then, the first question that he does get, he says, votes can change quick. Votes can change really quick, and if you're not on board with us, like, it could have switched to you. And immediately, I'm like, okay, Aisha knows it's her. Like, you're telling way too much.
Can I say that I feel like this tribal council flipped some people's votes?
Yeah, I think everyone was confused because we saw, like, 4 people get votes. I think everyone was confused.
Yeah, they were. And they were so stressed out when they were talking that I feel, and, like, there were the looks being exchanged and all that. Yeah. But there was a lot of people who were like, or a few people who they were like, wait, is what I'm doing, am I reading this correctly? And I feel like a lot of them were like, wait, I wasn't reading it correctly. I got to change my vote. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But what else did everybody say at Tribal Council?
Yeah, so Keyshawn says, stick to the core four. And everyone's like, what core four? Which core four? Because he could be talking about two different core fours. And they're just being so cryptic on, like, the core four stick together. If everything goes the way that I want it, this is how it'll go. And they're all giving, like, little bits and pieces without saying anything. And we see Aisha and Sol, they are making eyes. They're like, oh, God, we're in trouble. And I think they can see it. But you can also see that, like, everybody is nervous. Like, everybody is like, could it go a different way? Like, am I in the core four or am I not?
You just don't know what other conversations have been happening. And I think that's why, like, I don't know, if I was playing this game, I would keep track. You can't write anything down, can you? Like, they don't give you paper.
No.
So, I don't know, in the sand somewhere or in my head, I would try to keep track of anyone who went off to talk or anyone who was not at camp for some period of time or anyone who was left back at camp alone for some period of time. Yeah. It's impossible to keep track of all of that in your head, though. So I feel like that's where people start going crazy. And they're like, well, I don't know what all Rome has said to everybody else. I only know what he said to me and a few other people. And it seems like every single tribal council, leading into the tribal council, there will be like a conversation that's like the real conversation of who they want to vote out. And then there will be like three other conversations that are like fake conversations of who's trying to throw people off. Yes.
Yeah. I think, I can't remember who it was. It might have actually been Boston Rob. He said the biggest way to know what alliance people are in is to see who sleeps next to who. Because you will never sleep next to somebody that you don't trust.
That's so real.
I was like, that is so smart. Like he said, also, you could always see who was in alliance with each other by who slept near who.
So it doesn't seem like, I guess they're all just trying to get a wink of sleep at night, but it doesn't seem like a lot of people this season like wake up in the middle of the night and go chat or anything.
Well, the boys keep trying to chat. If you remember, Andy woke up Rachel and then Rome woke up Teeny to show her the box.
But it's,
it's the boys are trying to and the girls are like, let me sleep.
Please, I need my freaking sleep.
And it is proven that girls need more sleep. So let them sleep. Quit waking them up.
It is. We need like 10 hours. Leave us alone.
Yeah, we should be asleep right now. Okay, so votes are all in, and Rome plays his idol for himself. Like we talked earlier, there's no shock factor to this, and I hate it. I'm like, okay, play it for yourself. You don't need it. If you wouldn't have told anyone, everyone would have voted for you, and you could have played it, and there is shock value.
Yeah.
But instead, you had to tell everyone, and those people had to tell everyone, so everyone knows you're going to play it.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that. But we get, these votes confused me. We got one Genevieve. I'm assuming that was Sol.
Sol voted for Rome.
Oh, okay. So one Genevieve.
I think Asia.
Asia? Okay, so
but keep going. I'll remember it when you say it.
One Genevieve, one Rome, one Sol, and three Asia.
Who voted for Sol?
I'm not going to lie. I turned it off after Tribal Council. And they always show the votes at the very end.
I should have written it down. I know for a fact that Sol voted for Rome. And that was what made it so spicy whenever Asia turned around and she was like, you too, Sol. And I don't know if you've ever seen the play Julius Caesar, but it was basically her like, et tu, Brutus moment. Because she was like, not you, my only ally. And I don't think she believed him. So if he goes far and she has to vote for him, I don't think she'll do it.
She won't be on the jury. Only the jury votes.
So the jury is only people who get eliminated after post-merge?
Yeah. There's like,
I didn't know that.
One person usually gets voted out once they merge and that one person doesn't make it. And then everybody else after that makes it. Yeah. So these people, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you tick all of these people off.
They just go home.
Yeah.
They don't get a Fiji vacation in some hotel somewhere.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Ponderosa.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of like, yeah, you're going to throw me on a tangent. I'll stop.
Also, do they vote? I'm going to throw you on the tangent. I'm sorry. Do they vote? Do they vote after it airs or after this? They get done filming?
Repeat that.
Did I stump you? Do they vote after the season airs?
No.
Like, have they voted yet?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
So they vote at the very last tribal council. So there's three people left. They plead their case and then they all vote. Seasons pass, like pre-season 40, they would read those votes at like a live show later on. So they would let the whole season air and then do a live show. So like as you're watching the season air, those players didn't even know who had won yet.
Yeah.
But now they do it. Now they do it right then and there. Like Jeff reads the votes at the last tribal council and they do like their like reunion show right then.
That makes sense. I will say I must look up who voted for who because I feel like it's going to be important. So the voting went like this. We had Teenie voting for Soul, and that was because she knew she had to vote out Asia or Soul, and she just has a tighter personal connection to Asia, so she really wanted it to be Soul. Well, so I think that was a little bit of wishful thinking on her part.
I think it was more so of like she might have told Asia, I'm never going to write your name down. So she's like, I already know she's going to get voted out, so let me make good on my promise. I think that's a mistake because she's not on the jury. It doesn't matter at the end of the day if her feelings are hurt, unless you're going to be best friends with her in real life. Like in the game sense, doesn't matter that you,
but
that
I
you
also,
vote her out.
Right. And I, but
it
I also
does
think
matter
that
if you vote Saul out, because now he's going to go back to camp and know that he got one vote and know that it's one of them. And if you wanted to mend forces with him, you can't now.
Yes. The only thing I can think of is like if somehow tribal council threw her off because it seemed like it kind of threw them off.
Yeah, for sure. But it could have. Well, I'm curious to see how she'll spin it.
Then we have Soul voted for Rome. And I feel like Soul knew Rome wasn't going to get voted out. Soul was just like, F this guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that was a pure passion vote.
Yes. I think he was like just hoping like, come on, let's all vote Rome out. And I think he knows, too, like, he's not going to vote Asia out, but he also knows that Rome is never going to be an alliance member of his. So it's a safe vote for him because he's like, I'm never going to work with him. So I can make him mad. It's okay.
And then Asia voted Genevieve out. And I remember her saying during the discussions leading up to Tribal Council that she just wants Genevieve out of the game because her and Rome are just too strong together.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me, but I think she had to have known that it wasn't going to go that way.
Yeah, I think it might have been the same thing where she was like, they told her we're voting for Soul at the end and she didn't vote for him. And so I think she thought maybe the votes are still going to go that way and I just can't do it. I don't know. It's just chaotic.
I really, really want to listen to other podcasts and see what was going on in their minds. Like, I need to know why those three voted for who they did. And I really think for Teenie, it was just like her own personal allegiance or like,
yeah,
her own personal friendship with Asia. Like, that makes sense. Even though it has no effect on the game and you shouldn't think like that, maybe it just helped her sleep better at night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I didn't really understand any of their votes, but did you see the preview for next week?
No, I mean, I did, but I don't remember it.
So it was that there's like, looks like red paint everywhere on Tuku's tribe, but they're like, there's blood everywhere. Like there's blood everywhere. Like some of them are believing that it's blood, but apparently it's like somebody trying to get an advantage and it had to do with red paint. Like,
that confused me because when they showed it, it really didn't look like blood. But I also feel like they would be smart enough to know, like, if you actually bled in the middle of the forest, you just simply would not really see it. Like, it would just kind of, it's dark. It would just be like,
but not
unless you were bleeding out a lot.
Yeah.
I
felt like whoever said that was being stupid.
Or they were like being purposefully misleading or something.
Right. yeah, I'm curious to see how that episode's going to go.
I'm excited. This season is so good.
I am too. And our final like four that we came up with are all still in the game. And they're all people that I don't want to root for.
Please remind me who our final four was.
Okay. So we said, well, I said Rome, Andy, and Sierra or Tiana. And you said Tiana, Sierra. And that was your like two.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. I feel like Tiana and Sierra are both kind of like under the radar, and that is working to their advantage right now.
Yeah, I do too. And I think Rome and Andy, I mean, Andy, I don't know. Andy might make it far now. He might.
Andy could oops his way to the top, honestly.
He really could. He really could oops his way all the way to the final three.
And then I feel like if he got in the final three and it came down to the jury, people would be like, well, damn, like he really did it despite.
He really played that, all of y'all.
Yeah, despite the fact that everyone thought he was weak. I feel like they would be very impressed by that.
Yeah, yeah, I do too. Okay, well, we're through another episode. Again, thank you all for listening. Follow us on Instagram at binge.banter. Please share all of our posts, our account, our podcast link, everything with all of your friends. We're trying to grow our listeners, and that's the best way to do so. It's just word of mouth. So just let
also
everyone know.
We will be starting, yes, let everyone know, please, but we will be starting a TikTok very soon. I'm going to try to name it the same, binge.banter, and we're not just going to be over there saying, hey, we have a new episode out. We're going to be over there having hot takes. Mm-hmm. We're going to be over there participating in the controversial discussion of both Survivor, The Golden Bachelorette, and all of reality TV and pop culture, because don't forget, we could talk about anything, and maybe over there too, we will have some hot takes about Love is Blind, because the new season of Love is Blind has started coming out.
Yep. Yep.
We don't have time to podcast for that, but we can have some hot takes on TikTok.
Yes. We do not have time to do another recap podcast. It is taking a lot of time, you guys, but we are going to try to keep churning these out the best that we can, try to get more on a regular schedule. And it's just hard because they air on the same night at the same time. So we literally can't watch them both at the same time.
Yeah, but we're doing our best.
Yes, yes. We're faking it till we make it. But you guys hang in there. Keep listening to us. Share the good word. And we will see you next time for a recap of Golden Bachelorette Episode 3.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. This has been Binge and Banter. I'm Angela.
And I'm Emily. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.